We would like to acknowledge and pay our respects to the traditional custodians of the land, the Wangal people of the Darug Nation, where we are recording this podcast. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal and/or Torres Strait Islanders tuning into the podcast.
Wait, what's this podcast called again? Mad Chatter. Huh.
1, 2, 3.
Guten Tag and welcome back to another fabulous episode of your favourite podcast, Mad Chatter. And as always, I'm Maddie and I'm joined by Maddie Proud.
Hi.
And Maddie Turner.
Holla.
That was very professional.
It was.
It's only taken me 5 episodes to really get a bit of a script going. Thoughts?
I'm just impressed we've made it to 5. Like, we can now put up a single hand and that's the number of episodes we've got. I also think we've made an achievement because someone said that they can now identify our voices. They couldn't originally, but now they've got so deep into the podcast that they now know who's talking at all times.
I actually saw someone send us a DM on Instagram, Mad Chatter Official, if you're not following, and they said they had the opposite problem, they couldn't. So, Turner, how would you describe everyone's voice if they're having trouble? Mine's easy. Lisp.
No. Phil, I don't know how to describe voices.
You're a speech pathologist.
Well, she's loud.
She's loud.
I was going to give it away for you, but...
No, I feel like that one's easy. Maddie Proud is loud and... loud.
Loud and quick.
Yeah,
loud. And interrupts everyone.
Normally, if there's a voice talking over, it's probably Proud.
Not probably, always.
And then Flash Mob Maddie, I feel like you've got the one with the funny voices, funny sounds... Do you reckon she throws them in? Like,
you do. I stutter.
But you do it funnily.
But it's just brain fog.
And I'm the quiet one that you probably can't hear half the time. Sorry. Yeah.
When you need to adjust your volume, that's Turner.
No, we said, like, Turner's the type of person that, like, when she doesn't say much, when she says stuff, you actually want to listen. Like, the stuff that she's saying is quality. Whereas it's for me, it's like, it all kind of becomes one. And, like, I could have said stuff that was of value, but because I speak so often, it's like...
She's efficient.
Not worth it.
She's efficient.
She's efficient.
Maddie, I'm not. I think Maddie has got told before, just because you're loud doesn't mean you're right.
Thank you, Kelly Singleton.
Put it on a hat.
Anya, Kelly.
Anya.
Anya Singleton. If you know, you know. Look, guys, I thought we'd start off this podcast with a vibe check. How are we all?
The random way to start the podcast.
We haven't done that before. I feel like we should start doing that. Vibe check. Challenges. How about that? Challenges from last week. Anyone?
Maddie, I feel like you need to give a bit more context because we had a speed call down last week.
I know,
so we didn't get to really
rushed. So my challenge was to, you know, get the swimming cap fitted properly so my hair doesn't get wet. Because I feel like there's nothing worse than you finish recovery and you're... got like drippy hair. You don't want that. You know, you understand as a swimmer of the group.
As a swimmer.
And fellow curly haired girl.
That's a whole other podcast. She Turner thinking she has curly hair. Have you gone the 2-cap system like I've told you to?
No, I've only got 1 cap. But it did work.
Oh.
I like, you know, took the time, effort, saw what everyone else was doing, and my hair was still straight after.
Oh, bravo.
Well done.
I know. Thank you.
Cue applause.
Yeah.
Maybe we can try and get a swim cap sponsor. Maybe that's your sponsor. Maybe that's our goal for the next week is to all get a niche sponsorship.
Personalized sponsors.
Yours, JK Rowling.
Obviously.
Speaking of, update?
Yeah, I got really into some Harry over the weekend. I mean, I still
Harry
am not...
Styles or...
Well, actually, both. You know what? I think Harry is just my spirit animal. Like, anything... Find me a bad Harry. I'm going to call my kid Harry, unless my... But that's also inconvenient because my husband will be called Harry. Harry Jr.
Anyway, where are we up to?
So the chapters are quite long in Harry Potter, I actually have noticed, though, because I'll try and, like, I do get quite tired reading it, but I am up to the Sorting Hat.
Oh!
I'm so excited. And actually, one of my favourite... Like, I actually think one of my favourite things about Harry Potter is the chapter titles.
Right.
Because, like, there was just... And, like, it gets me so excited when I first read it. Like, I got to, like, platform 9 3/4. And then the next one's, like, the Sorting Hat. And I'm actually at that point, though, where I'm, like... You know how everyone's like, oh, I'm so, like, jealous that you're getting to read it now, like, after so long. But I'm getting that part of me that would have loved to have read it before I knew the movie. Because I'm, like, I'm so curious as to how I would have pictured everything. Like... Because I, you know, she obviously describes it as London and then the way that, like, he runs through the wall to go to platform. I'm like, I wonder if I would have had the capacity to actually visualise that without having seen the movies because, It's great. And like the way that they describe the characters, and we've just met obviously the Weasleys, we've met Draco. So if anyone hasn't read Harry Potter, I'm now just giving you a synopsis. But let's just say I actually had to stop at the Sorting Hat because I was like, I'm going to get into that and then I'm just not going to be able to stop. And it was like, this is an exciting point to be able to pick up at.
We're going to have a Sorting Hat segment where we discuss which house we'd be in.
Yeah. Someone messaged us that exact question, and they wanted to know the house that you think you'd be in, and they also want to know what they think your Patronus will be. But you're not up to Patronus yet.
No, so once, maybe that's like a timeline. So as soon as I get up to that, that's what the focus of that week's episode will be.
Yeah. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. You've got a while, but it'll be very
I will get there.
Now, was there any other feedback that we got? Because I know you two keep hammering on about some of the feedback we got this week.
Like, that is probably my greatest, like, I don't know, like what the feeling is. Like, greatest sense of achievement is when we get the feedback. Like, I feel like for us as well, it's like our teammates have been our number one advocates. Like, Paige Hadley walks in every morning and is like, love the potty. Like, had so much feedback. Messaged Sam last week being like, love the interview. And it really does warm the soul knowing people are watching it.
Paige Hadley's approval alone.
It's very true. I did have a message from my mum sent with Siri saying, I just finished listening to the podcast and I can't stop smiling. It was amazing.
Aww.
And that did warm the soul.
That's just from mum though, but there's been a few good tweets as well.
Yes. I thought the mum would lead into what your dad did.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what did your dad do?
Also, I thought my dad would lead in from one of the tweets.
Oh, okay. Let's go to that first. One of the tweets did say, now this is confusing in itself, don't get drunk and listen to Mad Chatter. It's very confusing. Two parts to this. One, is it only confusing when you're drunk, or is it confusing in general? Two, what is the confusing elements, do you think?
Three, why are you drunk and listening to this podcast?
Surely you need a clear mind.
Girl, go outside.
Yeah, because I can confirm, like, Dad was painting and got so distracted by the podcast that he ended up stepping in like a tin of paint. And
so yeah, funny.
And then blamed me. So somehow,
well, it is your fault.
I don't know, but I wasn't even there.
But no, the feedback has been brilliant. One person, so in line with that, said that they were listening while getting ready for the day, and the fact that we threw Ali Smith under the bus for not knowing where Tasmania was caused them to nearly choke laughing as they brushed their teeth. So we also could have been sued for a choking death.
Side note, I'm so not sorry about the bus. Because Ali, you should know better.
Ali should know better. She also thinks that for, you know, when you go to Sushi Train?
Yeah.
And so she came home one night and she's like, been to Sushi Train. It's like, what rolls did you get? Blah, blah, blah. And she's going, oh, yeah, and I got a couple of the Nigerian rolls.
Oh.
And I was like, let's just backpedal for a second. What are the Nigerian rolls? And I was like, do you mean the Nagari rolls? And she's like, I have been calling them Nigerian rolls for like 10 years.
I've been ordering them.
Ordering them like that. And I'm like, for starters, Nigeria is in Africa.
I was going to say, the classic Nigerian sushi.
Sushi. I mean, actually, I don't want to, you know, who knows? I don't really know the Nigerian cuisine, but I don't think sushi would be up on the top of the list. But yeah, that's always been for you.
Please DM us with any Nigerian cuisine.
Oh. Also DM us with any feedback you have, further feedback, and what you want from the podcast, interviews you want.
Mm-hmm. We ask this every week, but you know, something, you'd have a light bulb moment and be like, the girls will talk about this. So keep the info coming because we love to see it.
And like, even if we don't talk about what you suggest on this week's episode, there might be a, you know, rhyme or reason for it, and don't think that we're never going to get to it because we hopefully will.
We're saving it. It's in the bank.
Well, someone slid into our DMs this week wanting an interview, and it's actually worked for them because we've got a very big interview coming up today and I'm nervous.
This could go anywhere, but it also shows ask and you shall receive. So if anyone's out there, you know, Harry Styles, Chris Hemsworth, Justin Bieber, if any of you guys want to feature on here, just slide into our DMs and we might interview you.
Yes. So do we want to reveal now?
Yes.
Okay.
Or do we do the one word description again like we did with Sam?
All right, one word description and then I can do a little intro when we actually start the interview. Good.
Turner, one word.
Nike.
Oh.
I'm going to stick with the similar word that we had for Sam Wallace, sass.
Paige Hadley.
Yeah. And spoiler, it's not Paige Hadley.
But that'll come later because we've got a very special first quarter for you. We've actually, speaking of guests, we're going back to Sam because last week we got bonus content because one, we're just that good to you, and two, she just provided.
And because everyone loved the interview with Sam, highest ratings ever.
Yes.
I think we broke the internet.
All right, that's enough from us. Let's get back to Sam. Okay, Sammy, we are going to throw some random questions at you now. They could be this or that. They could be would you rathers.
God knows with these two over there. I don't know what they're going to ask. So, Proud, start us off.
I'm going to go, like, simple to start off with. Oh, no. Just if you could play any other position, what would it be?
Definitely, I think we'll keep.
You obviously don't like to run too much.
You'll see the words on my mold. Definitely.
She ain't shy.
All right. Flowers or candles?
Candles. Mari, that's a stitcher.
I want to know who you think is the hardest player you've ever come up against. Or is there someone every time that you dread coming up against because you're like, no thanks, not today?
That's a good one. I think all defenders are hard to come up against, but the battle I think I look forward to is more Shamera or Courtney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this or that. Nicki Minaj or DJ Bravo?
DJ Bravo! DJ Bravo! Champion!
Sam, can we get an exclusive? You have told us before that you feature in a music video. Are you going to tell the Mad Chatter podcast? She's never told us what song it is. You've told us the artist. I can't remember his name, but you're in a music video. Please, please, please tell us.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm putting the challenge to the Mad Chatter listeners. Someone can find this video. You will receive a Mad Chatter t-shirt made by Samantha Wallace with her cricket machine.
Have you seen the Rafael Nadal one where he appears with, like, Jennifer Love Hewitt and they're, like, making out the whole time in an Enrique song?
No.
That's the equivalent.
Oh, my God.
We need to see it.
Stop.
All right. England or Australia?
Ooh. 50-50.
Why?
I love Australia. It's just too far. But I love the weather. And England is closer to family and loved ones. Yeah. And it's more... I can get more of my food in England because I love a different, like, you know, different background, different cultures, like, yeah. So it's hard.
Okay, you've lived with a few, not a lot, but a few different Swifties over the years.
Yes.
Who is the worst to live with and who is the best to live with?
Mari, why are you doing me this? Well, everybody know. As lately, I'll give Helen her props. She's been doing really well. Love you, Helen. But definitely we'd be not. I miss her. And she, like, actually kept me aligned, like, with my eating and stuff and actually get me out of the house. And I actually spent a lot of time with her, whereas the others have boyfriends. So it's actually hard to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Understandable. You sort of touched on this about England having, like, different foods that you can have over there, but what do you miss most about Trinidad when you're in Australia? Not obviously your family and your friends and your
food.
Beautiful boyfriend, Akil, we love you. but what do you miss?
I would definitely say roti. Curry, yes, any day, any week.
Actually,
curry.
While we're on it, can you just tell us what, like, a traditional Trinidadian dish is, like, or meal? Like, what's something you would eat in Trinidad?
You know what? We always have this discussion because I think we just eat differently, and the amount that's be on a plate is probably not healthy or good for you, a lot of carbs. So, like, on a Sunday, you might have macaroni pie, baked chicken, stewed chicken, potato salad, fried rice with veggies like lettuce and cucumbers. So we eat a lot, and it's really different to out here. That's why, hence, I'm so fat, guys.
But there's also different meats, because I remember one of my first experiences with you was you were talking to your boyfriend at the time back home in Trinidad, and he was eating armadillo.
Sorry?
And you eat a lot of goat as well. That's not as weird, but the armadillo kind of got me.
No. You ever eat monkey?
No.
What? Oh, monkey tastes sweet.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah. Come to Trinidad, you eat stuff, you have no idea what you're eating. Because we season our stuff really well, you would never know what it is you're eating. And dump.
Might pass on the other.
Really?
Yeah. No. I'm a bit... It's so funny when you grow up just eating things and you don't think how weird. You're like, cow is weird. Like, beef is weird. What? Chicken's weird. And then I was in Egypt and they're like, here's some pigeon. I'm like, absolutely not.
You know what? I'll eat everything once. I'll try everything once.
Nah, not all pigeon. Right.
Monkey or armadillo then?
But
oh my god.
Along the same lines as the housemate question, what's the best thing about Australia and the worst thing about Australia?
Oh Lord, you're putting me on the spot here, Maddie. The worst thing about Australia, I would definitely see the traffic and the length of time. Like, it's weird because y'all will actually calculate how long gonna take you from point A to point B, but whereas in Trinidad, you know, you just drive that kind of way. It's only when I came to Australia, I was like, oh, I'll be there in 15 minutes. When sure that, I'll jump in the car and I just go. Doesn't really matter. That kind of way. The best thing of being in Australia would definitely be there's the people. I feel welcome, feel loved, never really experience any kind of racism. That is a great word.
Yeah.
Yeah, besides going to that pub that one time.
Oh, I
yeah, but everywhere I go, like I go to the grocery and this lovely old lady, she's like, oh, I love the complexion of your skin, and she'll just touch me in my hand. And she's like, oh, you're so tall, and it actually makes me feel nice, like, you know. So yeah.
This is a bit of a serious question, but I've actually been to Trinidad. Sam knows this. We went there for a netball trip, and we were sort of put in very secure situations in terms of we sort of had to stay in like a compound. Mm-hmm. And I remember driving to training and there being sort of army lining the street with big machine guns. And you often talk about a lot of the crime that goes on in Trinidad. I guess my question is, yeah, like what sort of level of caution do you have to apply when you're in Trinidad? And then as opposed to when you come to Australia, is it like, you know, the thought of leaving your door unlocked in Trinidad is like insane, whereas here you kind of have a bit more comfort in knowing you'll be okay?
Yeah, correct. And like I said, I have no place like home. Trinidad and Tobago will always be my home. I will always love it. But the crime rate is ridiculous. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's the best Caribbean country and blah, 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 blah. No. A lot of crimes are happening right now. Just 2 nights ago, I was reading someone break into an elderly's home, like an 80-year-old and a 79-year-old. They strangle them and kill them and rob them. Like, what an 80-year-old could do you? Like, you know? And things are so hard in Trinidad right now in terms of getting a job. And it's more like those, and I even stereotyping anybody, but more the blackhead chickens is what doing the crime, like, you know, the one to actually work for their own. And it's really hard because when I'm in Australia, I think I could just be free. I could wear my jewelry, my gold, whatever. I don't even consider even getting robbed, that kind of way. But when you're in Trinidad, you have to be watching your back constantly. You go to a club, you have to watch who's gonna be fighting, who's gonna rob who's gonna pull out a gun and shoot you. It's a lot. I don't really go nowhere by myself when I'm in Trinidad. I'm hardly travel. And especially because people would think I'm a target, kind of, because, you know, I'm playing netball, I'm a professional athlete. So I don't go places by myself, really. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of friends in the army and, you know, police service and stuff. So I roll with them a lot. And as you said, when you came to Trinidad, you have to be
on your toes.
Security, you have to be there, because first weekend, you all are white.
Mm. Exactly.
No, first weekend, they're seeing a bunch of foreigners in the country. You all could be an easy target. You could never tell who is watching you every move when you're leaving the hotel, when you go to training, when you're going back. So you could never tell. It's actually real. It happens.
Yeah. I think the reason I ask that question, like, I don't want it to be like a, I don't know, it's more like for people to understand, like, the differences in cultures. And I think, like, it's one thing for, I'm not trying to say it's easier for her, but for, say, Helen to come to Australia, England, and then Australia have very big similarities, whereas you are experiencing, and obviously you've had a bit in England and America, but I think sometimes people, and especially people that just come and watch netball, don't actually understand the difference in the life that you live in.
It is. You're walking on the road, you walk in and someone just pull up in a car and grab your handbag and jump in your car and go on. As simple as that. And I'm not even joking, and it happened most likely of your country. I'm sure Australia have some stuff like guns and what's it called? Oh, what am I looking for?
Knives.
Like, you know?
Guns,
drugs,
chunks.
So I think all over has it, but we broadcast ours more and it's always on social media. So you go on social media and I will show you all someone in an accident and you'll see the dead person on the side of the road. Whereas in Australia, they wouldn't post up that. So yeah, it's hard. I love my country regardless.
All right, finish with like a lighter question.
Sorry, I've really brought the mood down.
All right, so you've done volleyball, you've done basketball, you've done netball, you've done some track and field. Mm-hmm. What's the next sport? If you have to play one more sport, what's it going to be?
Retirement. I think I'm ready to retire, buddy. What other sports I can actually play? I don't know, honestly. Not soccer. If I go and play soccer, I'll definitely be a goalkeeper.
Yeah, you need your hands.
You know what I see?
Two jukes.
She's in the Big Bash.
Yes! Cricket! Yes, cricket! Yes. Cricket.
I'm a good bowler.
I was just like, you'd be a great bowler.
I'm actually, I'm not a good batsman, but I'm a good bowler.
Or wicket keeper or slips catcher?
Next year, Sydney Thunder.
Venus Flytrap.
I'm going for the West Indies women cricket team.
It's definitely not golf, because she thinks she's left-handed at golf.
Marty, you can't be telling people that. I'm terrible.
Oh, man.
But no, guys, this is fun. I didn't expect it to go like this.
Sometimes we can be professors.
Sometimes we can.
No, I think I was actually going to be crying my eyes out. Especially about my whole ACL injury and my dad. I expected that topic. But no. I'm all good, G.
Well, you've provided us with great entertainment. I don't care if nobody else likes this interview. I have. That's all that matters.
There could be another one down the line.
I think we need another check-in with Zeb. I think we do.
She's our biggest fan.
You know what? Gonna check in with me when I'm married, guys.
Ooh. Ooh. I was about to say, what's next for Sam Wallace? And that's it. She's walking down the aisle. Singing there.
Hey, Akil. Are you listening to this, baby boy?
Welcome to a very exciting quarter two, and there's a lot of giggles going around in the background because our guest is here. And Maddie Proud, please give us one of your famous descriptions.
Well, he is the backbone of Netball New South Wales. He is the heartbeat of the New South Wales Swifts. He is the CEO of the Paige Hadley Fan Club. He is the one, the only... Nicholas Kelly. Woo! I actually forgot to add the most important part. He is a national champion.
Oh!
Representing New South Wales in the Men's Open Championships. How are you feeling, Nick?
Wait, before you open your mouth, no swearing. No innuendo. Nothing inappropriate. You may proceed.
Nah, a few inappropriate things, it's fine.
I feel good. I feel a bit tired still, but just happy to be here with you guys, I guess.
Well, I feel like we have to kick off. We will get to how you got into netball, but can you run us through a little bit about the celebrations in Adelaide? Because obviously, Maddie Turner and myself, being from Adelaide, we're familiar with, you know, the digs that Adelaide has to offer. What were the celebrations like?
We started off at the Adelaide Convention Centre, and then we got... kicked out of there, we ended up at the Woolshed.
What a place.
On the Bucking Bull.
The Woolshed in Adelaide is a place where, you know, you maybe went to when you were 18, and then you only ever went to again if you've won a netball grand final. So yeah. I feel honoured. I feel like the Bucking Bull would have been very proud to have you seated up on it.
Yeah, look, I didn't last very long. I think we're there for probably about half an hour and then we left, so.
Did you get on the bull?
No, I was scared. I'm shy. I don't do that.
Nicholas, we're going to take you back.
Yes.
Young Nicky boy.
Yes.
How did you get into netball?
I started playing socially when I was about 19, and there was a New South Wales coach was there, and he told me to trial, and that's when I made my first team in 2015, 2016. I made the under-20s New South Wales team.
Leading into that, as a pre-being 19, had you watched netball? Mm. Did you have friends, sisters, cousins, people playing netball?
I got two older sisters, and they both played. They weren't very good. But a lot of the girls I went to school with growing up on the Central Coast, netball was... if you're a girl, you played netball. And they were very, very good. And we'd go and watch their grand finals all the time and stumbled across it on TV. I used to watch it on telly all the time. And then when I got the opportunity, I just started playing. It was just very, I don't know, it was very easy for me to do, I guess. It was a no-brainer for me.
What sports did you play, like, growing up?
Oh, everything. I was a swimmer, surf, lifesaving.
Oh, honey, you play in competition.
Two successful swimmers right now.
Footy, like, NRL,
soccer.
Yeah, for 2 years. MVP
interesting.
Water polo, tennis, everything.
So when you played netball socially the first time, did you go then like, oh, actually, I could do this a little bit more, take it more seriously, or were you just happy to be there?
No, I didn't realise that that was what it was. So when I got told to trial, I just thought it was just a... I don't know. I wasn't even knowing what to expect. And then turning up to trials and actually seeing, like, I think it would have been like 100, like, guys, like, playing netball. It was very confronting at first, but it was like...
What year was that?
That was 2015.
And there was a lot of boys there.
Yeah. So, yeah, even our division. So we had... So it was obviously a team of 12, but, yeah, there was people that obviously didn't make the team. So we were... Yeah, it was very... I just didn't think it even existed.
Because it's nationals, like, the like highest kind of, like...
From nationals, they also pick Aussie teams, but they don't always tour. So sometimes they'll just pick, like, a tournament team that they pick the best of that division. But then there's also touring years where you actually go to New Zealand or New Zealand will come here. You might go over and play in their nationals or they'll come and do, like, a trans-Tasman type competition. So yeah.
And so you're playing social netball. Was that mixed netball?
Yes, it was.
So mixed. And then who was the person that said to you, "You've like"? Was there a scout there? Is that how it works?
No, he was the New South Wales coach. So I think he coached one of the under 17s or under 20s teams, and he was a friend of one of the girls I played with, and he just said, "I should just come and trial." And not thinking anything of it, I just went and did it. And
you made it in your first year?
Yes.
Were you always a goalie?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was always a shooter.
If they did the whole, like, you know, what does your netball position say about you? Like, Nick is a goal attack. Like, Nick is the Hella House of the men's netball team, I would say.
You absolute sass master.
Oh, God. I'll take that as a compliment.
It's a huge compliment.
So when was your first... So it was 2015, you're saying?
Yeah,
your first nationals experience?
Yeah, so we get selected. So selections are normally at the end of the year, and then nationals is always at Easter. So we kind of start around October, November, go all through Christmas, and then when Easter comes around, we'll go away.
So what was that first experience for you like?
Oh, it was so much fun. It was like...
Was that the first kind of professional level of a sport you've played?
Yeah, to a point like that. Like, yeah. I'd gone away to state and Aussies for, like, surf lifesaving and stuff like that. But, like, to be in, like, a team environment, that was kind of, like, my first high level. I was always doing stuff on my own. I was always better on my own than on a team. But that year was just, our coach was amazing. She just was able to bring us all together. Like, we were such underdogs and we somehow nearly made the grand final that year, like. And there was only two people in that team that had been to a nationals before. So, and some of the people that I've met in that team, like my best friend Ryan, I'm still best friends with him now. Like, and he'll always be my friend. And it's just those little things like that is what makes it so special. And even this past week, there's so much funny stuff that's happened. It's just
like nationals is like, when I look back at like my netball, like nationals were always just the funnest week ever. Like, you just. Yeah. Yeah, you always remember it.
Because you only see those people like 2 hours a week at training or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden you're in these high-pressure situations, you're eating with them, sleeping next to them, travelling with them, and you find out so many funny little things about people, and it's just nothing like
it. It's like that idea of like your friendship gets like heightened, just as if you've known them for 10 years because you've lived with them every day for that kind of week.
It's nuts what you find out about people being so close to them all the time. Good and bad.
Yes. I can't wait for the young couple.
We haven't even toured and I know too much about you, so... You kind of just touched on it then, like, obviously there's a big social aspect for you, but why, like, what did you fall in love with about the game? What did you love about it?
I find with netball you can never stop learning. I think it's whether you get a new coach, you're in a new team, new position, I feel like you can always learn and you'll always learn from the people around you. And that's what I like about it. Like, I don't feel like it'll get to a point where I'm like, oh, well, this is all I can do. I'm going to stop playing. I think there'll always be something more to learn, and I think that's what's really exciting. And the game's changed even since I first started to now. It's just completely different, and it's faster, it's fitter, and obviously you get new people coming in. It's exciting to see all these new people come through and just challenge yourself a bit more. Yeah.
And is that why you like found yourself watching the netty?
I understood it. I could see. Right. I'd watch NRL, AFL, soccer. I couldn't see any of the structures. I couldn't see if you did this, that this would happen or this is what. But with netball, I can see it clearly. Like, I can see the structures. I can see if you do this, this might happen and how to, well, most of the time, hopefully I can see it. But, yeah, I think I just understood it. It just something clicked in my brain and I understood how it was played.
Have you ever coached?
Yes. Yeah, I coached Metro League for a couple of years and I coach at a girls' school. So
yes, actually,
my wisdom
that does ring a bell. I've heard stories.
What is, I guess, with that, like with the training and the coaching and everything like that? Yeah. What would be your like ultimate goal with netball, or have you sort of achieved it by winning a nationals, or is there more like?
Obviously, like I think my goal at the moment is hopefully I can encourage. Like, hopefully, if a young boy sees me play, hopefully that... Because I never saw that. And if I'd seen it when I was young, I might have been able to, you know, start earlier or whatever it might have been. But I think just trying to push the boundaries as much as I can. I don't know if... like, obviously I'd love to do it as a job. Like, I wish I could train and play every day, but I don't know if that'll happen in my playing career. Like, but if it does, hopefully.
You'll hang around
for yeah, it. Yeah. Like, I am only 28. Like, I am 28 this year. So, but yeah, I don't know. I just, wherever it'll take me, I guess. I'll take any opportunity I can get.
Like, when I played in Adelaide, like, in my very early years, like, every year I'm pretty sure I played up until sort of under 13s, there was a boy that played with us, and his mum was the president of the netball club, and we actually had two boys in our team 1 year, and then they got to an age, obviously, where they weren't able to play. What are your thoughts on, like, kind of grassroots netball for boys and men? Like, is that something that... yeah, could happen that needs to be more encouraged and kind of built up more, or
definitely, I think so. I think it needs to get to that stage for them, for there to be kind of like a professional men's league, I guess. Because there is quite a big gap. Like, I think it's after 12 or 13 they can't play with the girls. So, but I think that's obviously changing. Like, especially in New South Wales, I'm not too sure about other states, but with the state titles and stuff that New South Wales is doing.
There's a first all boys team, I believe.
Yeah, it was all boys division. Division, and, sorry. And men's division as well. So I think, yeah, just kind of, there's just like even with the girls, like there's just that disconnect from like that age group where, you know, they're going through school or whatever it might be and people drop out. I think at that age, it's probably better for boys to probably join.
Yeah.
It's hard, like, it'd be so hard for young boys to play netball in a team full of girls. But if it was a team full of boys, I think it'd obviously be a lot better.
Well, because I think even like the most like equivalent that I can see, and you don't want to compare with other sports, but like on the flip side of that, like my brothers played AFL and there were obviously girls that then played with them, and then the same sort of thing. They got to sort of 12, 13 and couldn't play with the boys anymore. Yeah. And obviously now we've seen the introduction of AFLW and there's a lot more like, so it's that's massive. Sort of it's the huge. Progression. So that, yeah, it does seem like, well, if that can happen in other sports for girls playing a predominated sport by men, why can't the same thing happen for boys in netball?
Yeah, exactly. And I get that it's obviously taken a long time for netball to get where it is now, especially for you guys, like that you guys can do it professionally. But then there's also, you don't want to take away from what you guys have done, but then also it's hard to see that kind of disconnect between the men and the women. But yeah, who knows? Like, things change so quickly. You never know. It might happen quicker than you think.
All right, what would be the team name then?
I don't know.
Well, that's a good question.
I don't know. For New South Wales?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not too sure. I don't think anything I'd say would be. I don't think I can suggest anything.
I've seen
I don't
your
like
fans
me.
In the crowd and I've seen their signs.
Yeah, I don't think. Oh, I don't know. I might have to come back to you on that one.
All right. While you think about that, what people may or may not know, sometimes you are a little bit of a training partner with these girls. You got your red singlet the other day.
Yes.
How's that? Do you absolutely love that opportunity getting to run around with the girls that like you love to watch on TV? And
Yeah. It's to be asked to come into something like that, obviously, like it's your guys' job. And for me and any of the other boys that come in, for us to kind of be trusted to come in and be able to provide something to you guys for you to be able to win. I think that's like, it's obviously, I don't know, it feels really good and it like gives, obviously gives me a bit of confidence. And I don't know, it's just, I guess I'm just lucky enough that I work here and that I can, you know, just duck off for 3 hours and come back to my desk. And I don't know, and it does mean a lot, and it's really exciting, and getting to hear like what Bryony and Beck say and how you guys communicate with each other. And it just kind of like, yeah, it's just very different, like, and it's so exciting. Like, I think obviously it happens more. Like, I know West Coast, they've got male training partners. They're like official male training partners.
It's very
partners.
Big in New Zealand too.
Yeah.
I was going to ask that. Is there a country that's kind of doing it better than Australia in terms of men's netball? Like,
I think New Zealand. New Zealand. You can't go past them. They're on TV. Like, the men's are on TV. I think a few weeks ago they had a men's Mystics team and a Northern Stars men's team play against each other.
Do you think
it was televised.
Do you think that's kind of an, I wouldn't say an answer, but something you'd like to see in the future? Say you'd have the Swifts men's or, you know, the FIFA men's and just play it.
Of course, because like, even I know when I go to a Swifts game or a Giants game or whatever it might be, it's like you go there and, you know, it goes so quickly and then you're like, oh, that's it, like the game goes so quick. Imagine going and seeing the men's team, the two men's teams play before or after. Like,
yeah.
Get more bums on seats.
Yeah.
Like ticket sales.
Like a curtain
raiser. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like they could just even like run alongside each other, and you know, like the boys and the girls like go away and travel together, and it's just like it could just be so like it'd just be like one massive like family, like
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it just and it. You could get more even men to the game, like
yeah.
young boys to the game. They can see it happening yeah. in front of them. And but
I mean, it's weird because when you think about it, you kind of do have a like a men's open team in every state.
Yeah.
You could
yeah.
almost just
yeah.
throw them the title.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we've got two New South Wales teams and Melbourne teams.
I was yeah. going to say that like, that was going to be my next question. Is there the depth to fill, like obviously a Swifts, a Giants team, a Vixens mm. and a Collingwood, but then the fact that you had like, you have an opens team and a reserves
yeah.
team, like, and
yeah.
there's people that didn't like make it, like you said,
yeah.
like, there obviously is the talent coming through. It's and I guess with the introduction of a grassroots competition, but it seems like there seem like there's enough around.
Yeah, definitely. I think the difference between the reserves and the opens, it's definitely a fitness thing, and
yeah.
I think I know that firsthand because I spent 4 years in the reserves team, and until mm-hmm. I actually properly knuckled down and did the extras.
You have shred.
Yeah, and then and then I cracked opens for the first time. So I think, but I think even if that was to happen, like I'm sure if some people knew that was going to happen, that it would probably change some of their training behaviours, I guess.
Mm,
but
yeah.
it's just that, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, it'd be hard to say.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to say. You wouldn't, obviously you wouldn't want one team getting smashed or
yeah.
each week by another state or even the same state, because it obviously wouldn't be too such a good look.
Not to bring the mood down, but
mm-hmm.
have you or do you think that there is any, like, have you ever got backlash from being a guy playing netball? Because I still think, like, this, the men's netball is
yeah.
growing each year, and I know so many people that play it, and we don't have a problem with it. I don't see a problem with it, but there is a stereotype attached to it, like you're playing a girl's game kind
yeah.
of thing.
I think it is a shock. I like the shock factor it gives people when I
mm.
do say stuff like that, but I think it's not so much. It's not so much that they don't think men should be playing netball. They just don't want the men's game to take over the women's game.
Right.
It's more that part. And there'd be, I think it's probably more of like a protection over the women.
Yeah.
But even then, but like, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. I've never had any kind of like.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I was curious.
And I was a DO, so I was a development officer for nearly 2 years. So I was going to schools and doing school clinics
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff. And even when I tell the kids, like, they kind of look at me and they give me a bit of a funny look. And then I'd be like, no, like, I play netball. And they're like, you can't play netball. You're a boy. And I'm like, well, I can. And
yeah.
I do. And even, like, I'm there for a whole term. And by the end of the 8 weeks, sometimes the boys would be like, I want to end up playing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it's just, I think, like, an NRL and AFL have done it so well. They just need to change people's thinking, I guess,
yeah.
around
well,
it.
And this. Oh, sorry, I don't know. Like, I was just saying, there's still stigmas attached to coming and watching, like, us play. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, we're, like, even my own brothers, like, until they actually came and watched me play professionally, I think they still thought that the standard was going to be the same standard on an Ashfield court on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And I had a friend come on the weekend who's never come to a netball game, and, like, even he was the same sort of thing, because there's still this idea that netball is this kind of girls' amateur sport, but it's, like you said, physical and
at this point, netball is got more biff in it than the rugby league.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
It is, you don't understand
how.
Did you
see Shimo?
Yeah.
No comment. Kate Walsh now. What would you say the biggest difference between men's netball and women's netball is?
The sass level?
there's definitely some big personalities. I think it's starting to come away from that now, but I think the boys just used to rely on how fast and how high they could jump. But I think even the game that we played against you guys in pre-season, I think when we went out there, one of our goals was to not rely on that, and we wanted to play structured, short, sharp netball.
Mm.
And to your credit, though, like, you've forced us to probably revert back to what we, but that was like, but I think that where it's, that physicality of like the, how high you can jump, how fast you can run. I think it's starting to come away from that now. And I think if you watched any of the live streams, I think you probably saw that. Even in the other divisions, even in the reserves divisions, in the 23s and 20s divisions, like some of those boys look like they've been playing for years.
I think even my early exposure to men's, because I played a lot of mixed in like uni games, and I would be the first to say men's netball is so different to how the girls play netball, because it was just, it was almost basketball-y. Mm. It was so quick.
Aerial
but
and
quick,
yeah.
Now you guys, everything's so like clinical, and it's so much like,
yeah, and I,
so much.
And I think that's also, I think like two of our top coaches now, well, actually three of our top coaches in the men's and the mix, they've traditionally coached women.
Mm.
And they've now come over to the men's side of the game because they've seen, like, I guess the probably, yeah, the potential and probably the development that they could bring in that we probably haven't had before. And, like, I think that's been shown in the last few years by how many titles, especially that Opens men's team's won. Just by having someone coming in and going, hang on, like, that's not how you've played netball like that, but why don't you try something different? Like, and it's definitely showing. And even in the other states, I think you can see it too.
Well, I agree, because I think, like, in the past, like, for, but you know, pre-season tournaments and stuff, like, a good way for the women's teams to get practice was often because, you know, the academy is a little bit of a level below, and so it'd be like, let's play the men. And I remember in the past it was kind of like, oh, but it's so hard because when you play the men, it's a totally different style, and it's almost not worth it because you have to completely change the way you play. Whereas I 100% noticed that this year more than ever. Like, we came away from that game being like, wow, that was so hard because they were so clinical and they were so kind of structured, and it wasn't just like, throwing hope and kind of doing the classic, like, just throw it in the air and of course one of you guys are going to outjump us. It was like, I felt like we still had to outsmart you and out, like, you know, to try and get any ball. Yeah,
definitely.
But yeah, I think that definitely represents the evolution of the game for you guys.
And that's what our coaches this year, that's what they wanted us to do. And I think that's what probably ended up winning us the title, was how, like, structured they wanted us to be and not to revert back to the big tall shooter or whatever it might have been. But I think that's probably what ended up winning us the titles, because they just wanted us to just be so clinical and structured and calm, which is traditionally, if you looked at men's netball like even 3-4 years ago, that's not what it was. Yeah. It was fast, it was frantic, there was lots of errors. Like, people just, like, saying, like what you said, throwing hope. Like, just throw the ball and hopefully someone would be able to jump high enough to get it, so.
I personally love the change I've seen in the shooting circle, where you're not just relying on either, like, a dunk almost, or someone just jumping up. Like, of course, you've got your big tools that can do that, but you're a traditional shooter. You've got the finesse.
Oh, I try.
You've got the gooseneck.
I try. Yeah, no, I think...
You're dying to play the super shot.
Yeah, I don't know about the super shot. Eugene and our team love the super shot, but I'm not too sure about the super shot.
All right, we'll shake up the interview a little bit now. Okay. We'll relax you a little bit.
Okay.
There's something I want to know. And for people who are listening, you need to know that this is Paige Hadley's fan club up here.
Yes.
This boy reads her mail, like, without permission. You can say it in front of these two girls.
Yeah.
Why is Paige Hadley your favourite?
Oh, I just love her. She's so nice. I just watch her and I just want to be like her when I grow up. She's so nice.
So
to
you
want to
be like her, but you're not wearing ASICs.
Look, I have big man feet. I can't wear women's shoes anymore. I can't. I had to go to men's Nike shoes, and I'm not mad about it. I'm sorry. I think I got into a Instagram fight with someone over Paige.
You did.
I think someone.
I believe there was some intoxication.
Yeah, I had a few wines, and then someone was bad mouthing my girl, so I thought I'd back her up. I won though, because she ended up deleting her comments after I tagged Paige in the comments.
You're also her bodyguard, so I'm loving this.
Yeah, definitely.
Can we
yeah.
finish this interview off with Maddie's first impressions of Nick?
Oh no!
Pretty proud of this.
This is more embarrassing for me than it is for you. No, I think it was a train like a swift. And you were one of the DOs working there. It was my first year of the swift. I'd never seen you. And I remember thinking,
oh no.
Who? Is this beautiful man over on this car? And then
I opened my mouth.
I loved you even more, but I realised I was on the wrong team.
Buffing up the wrong. You're missing something I'm after.
Well, you gave up pretty quickly. I try every day with him.
But you actually do. Instead, you do have a doppelganger who I thought that other people would agree with, but I wonder if you've ever been told it before.
Oh no.
Stephen Coletti.
I don't know who that is.
Laguna Beach and from One Tree Hill. I actually got photos up. I did a bit of stalking last night. Oh, and we'll put this up later. So this is Nick. This is obviously Nick.
Yeah.
Stephen. Flip it.
Oh.
And that's not even a good photo of him. But like, if anyone at home, I'm going to put up a comparison photo. And if people agree.
And people are going to say, Maddie, where's your glasses?
Yeah, that's true. I'm wearing my glasses. No. Oh, well, I think it's a good one. Anyway, well, no, Nick, you're fine. A very attractive man. No. Oh, I think we need to stop this interview.
No, you're not the only one who thinks that. It's okay.
Well, Nicholas, thank you for joining us today. And we did reveal earlier that you absolutely slid into our DMs and that's how you got this.
Yeah, I didn't think it would happen. I thought you'd get someone a bit more interesting than me.
Oh, no.
Doesn't get much more interesting than you.
Oh, no. If this was a podcast where we could reveal all, you'd be a frequent guest. But no, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And boys, get involved in Netty.
Absolutely.
Definitely. You won't regret it.
We love you, Nick.
Love you guys too. Love you too, Paige.
It's quarter four time, which means it's game time, which means another terrible song opener. What would Maddie say? Ling ding 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 ding. Well, okay, you went to sing a circus song at the end there. I was trying to go for the traditional what does the fox say? Ding 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 ding.
Stop,
you will
turn off.
Look, I don't know about you, but another turn idea from us. Yes, so we're playing What Would the Other Maddie Say? So, I will ask a question, and it will first be directed at Maddie Proud, and I'll say, Maddie Proud, what is blah, 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 blah? For example, what is your favourite fruit? And then Maddie Turner will be writing down her answer of what she thinks Maddie Proud will say. Then I'll say, 3, 2, 1, Maddie Proud, give me your answer, and Proud says apple. And then I'll say, Turner, what did you say? And she'll go, oh my God, I also got apple. Or she'll go,
banana.
Nah, I went banana.
Spoiler, neither apple nor banana grapes are my favourite fruit. Well done, Maddie. You would have got that question right.
So pretty easy. And then we're going to swap. It's going to be 5 questions each. And we're just going to see which Maddie knows the other Maddie better. Let's begin. Maddie Proud. What would you say your worst habit is? She's laughing. She knows. Maddie Turner knows too.
Because where do I begin?
Let's not open that can.
I'm hoping Maddie Turner has gone very
like surface
specific.
Level? Oh.
I feel like we've addressed this in another episode, but maybe Maddie's gone something different. Oh, I'm nervous.
She's writing
now.
A paragraph. Okay, wait. I'll ask Maddie Proud first.
Okay, well, I thought she was going to say the whole scraping the bottom of the bowl, that I, you know how I scrape it and keep scraping it, but then I'm also going to say something about like maybe oversharing or maybe stomping really loud when I walk, maybe just not allowing the chance for other people to speak.
And maybe not letting the others have their answer.
Which one did you go with?
I don't know. Whichever one you went with. It's going to be great. She's got something completely different too.
No, I went with scraping the plate loudly.
Okay, good.
All right,
good,
we'll
good.
Give that. That's a win. So that's 1 point
you just threw me
to Turner.
Sort of like, I don't know.
1 point to Turner.
Oh, I was just pretending to write for a long time.
Oh, confusing. Because you're
it's mind games. It's mind games. All right. Death row meal. What would you say
is your
death row?
She's got a lot of facets to this. Okay.
You have to back one.
Are we going just one
just
meal?
Just one meal. Go
one meal. Okay.
Don't
okay.
One meal.
A Luxa.
Well, hey, Luxa, Maddie Turner.
Luxa.
For those who couldn't see the page being turned my way, it said Luxa.
I promise.
All right. She's 2 from 2 here. Question number 3. What is Maddie Proud's favourite Taylor Swift song?
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, is it? I didn't realise it was so easy.
Yes.
I should have said the One Direction song and given you a panic attack.
Maddie's got to... Maddie, you can only get points if you get it exactly right. If you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
If you know what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying.
I'm nervous. I'm like going down the wrong train, but let's...
Okay.
Hang on, I haven't finished.
Oh, jeez.
Long song.
It is. It is All Too Well, 10-minute version, Taylor's version. Well done.
I did it.
Interesting. So that's a recent one. Did that just overtake anything else?
So All Too Well, though, is an original with a 5-minute version. It's on the renowned.
I don't know.
I actually want to kind of put a little disclaimer out here. That was my favorite. Like, it's like a middle of the like album song. Like, it wasn't a single,
like
anything
B-side.
Like that. It was, 100%. And I, like, frothed it for a long time. But then I didn't really realize until a long time later that it actually had this kind of fandom surrounding it. And a lot of people loved it as well. Whereas I thought it was a bit of a random song to like.
So
Maddie thought she was the only one that loved that song. I thought I was a trailblazer. Turns out I'm not, but it also gave me comfort that all other Taylor Swift fans like it. But then to the point where the original version was a 10-minute version. That's one that's all about Jake Gyllenhaal when there's the video. Yeah.
If you asked me what her second song was, I wouldn't know that.
I don't even know if I know that. That's another, like, there's so many layers.
She'd have to sit down really think about it. Living pie graphs.
I have tried to do that before and it just was not possible.
Number four. This is an interesting one. For any potential suitors out there. Name three things that would make up Maddie's ideal man.
I feel like this is very topical. Alright, you should surely know this, Maddie. You should surely know this.
She's laughing. I feel like there's a story time attached to this.
There is an for once in my life, there's a story connected that I'm not prepared to share with the entire world. Mum and Dad, if you're listening, I love you.
I don't know whether to go like deep or shallow.
Go a bit of both.
Yeah, okay.
Now go shallow.
I ain't no woman of substance.
Alright, are you done?
No.
Oh god.
Three things is a lot.
It is.
Okay.
Put the pressure on there.
If I get one, do I get a point?
Alright, one, are you done?
Yes.
Okay, one is a striped shirt. Two is a backwards hat. And three is that they just don't like me. Like me, red flag.
My three. Number three. Doesn't eat too slow.
She has. It really agitates me if I'm on a date with someone and they eat really slowly. Because I'm like, I want to eat my food. And if they, like, I've had some bad experiences where I'm just like, eat your damn food. It's distracting me that you're not eating.
Oh my god.
All right, number two. I said not too nice. Like, not too nice to you.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I like that.
Number one, striped shirt doesn't hurt.
It's not pretty much two from three there. And the third is probably, a good call.
I'm giving it the striped shirt situation.
Well done.
Well, we have really similar red flags. Doesn't like me, toxic, all of the above.
That's another podcast.
That's another time. All right, last question. You've done very well here. What would be Maddie Proud's favourite book? Simple. But it could be hard because you're a reader.
I'm a reader. Okay, so there's two layers to this, I'm going to say. So the first one I would have said The Fault in Our Stars. That was like the book that changed my life. Yeah. But then my favourite book recently has been Daisy Jones and the Six.
Okay, I haven't got it right.
What would you say?
Oh my god!
Maddie Turner said Grace on the Court. And
I thought you would give yourself that opportunity to pump yourself up.
Well, in that case, it's either Grace on the Court or Grace Back on Court, because Grace Back on Court is going to be in all good bookstores on May 10th.
There it is.
Oh my god. Well, Turner, well done.
I actually think she knows me better than I know myself, because she should have said that.
She does.
I know my sister like I know my own.
I also enjoy the very, she had like the deeper kind of qualifications for the perfect man, and you were just like, stripey hat. Love it. All right, swap the notepad over. Here we go. If Maddie Turner was an animal, she could see. But Proud's lost her mind. If Maddie Turner was an animal, what would she be? It was a very quick response time over here from Maddie Proud.
I've got two answers.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry, she's writing a paragraph.
Okay, well.
Are you a left-hander?
Yes!
Can you not?
Sorry, did you show me?
No, I didn't see.
Just for everyone playing along, Maddie Friday's being very flimsy with the book.
She's on her cart, like, your hands.
Alright.
I would have said, like, giraffe because I'm clumsy. Or I would have said sloth because I'm slow.
Oh, see, I went a puppy, like Ollie, because I thought you loved your puppies. Or I said a koala.
Sloth.
Yeah, I feel like you're kind of just like cute and like, kind of happy to just chill in a tree.
Either way, you can justify all you want, it's wrong.
Oh God, I'm on another bad.
You can't get any more wrong. All right, next question. This is really hard, I reckon. If Turner could travel anywhere in the world next, where is she going?
Oh, that's hard.
Well, you seem to have had an answer.
I feel like you know this. If you go anywhere in the world next.
Okay, go.
Like Europe.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Europe.
All right, I'll accept
you. We are planning a Euro trip 2022. See you guys there.
I'll accept you.
Any spotters?
Go ahead, Katiki, you want to take us?
You guys all heard that. I was invited.
You are. All right. We're taking the podcast on the road. International.
Question number three. Who is Maddie's favourite dance mum? It's probably easy.
Oh, wait, the mum.
I don't know if she knows the
dance
mum's
girl. No, the girls. Sorry, okay, dance mum girl. I did delete that last word.
I was gonna say I don't think she knows the mums.
Yeah, no, the girl.
Okay, but that's obvious.
It's obvious, but I feel like she needed a bone.
Okay, what about if
you need to throw a bone?
Do you have enough?
All right, do you want to do top three? Do you know enough?
I know two. Nah, let's just go with one.
We'll go with one.
Maddie.
Yeah, Maddie Ziegler.
I was going to say, did you like her sister Kenzie
she too? She spelled it wrong though.
Is it IE?
Yeah.
That's like, it's a bit of like a pride thing, so I'm like, everyone should spell the name of the Y.
I agree. At my AFL coach, who spells it M-A-D-I.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Okay. If Maddie was a chocolate bar, what would she be? There's some contemplation.
Okay, are we going like...
I love that you're looking at her intently. That's what's going to help.
Yeah. Do you want to look at your like, is it based on what you like? Or is it going to be based on like your personality traits, your... like all of that?
Both.
Like, I can be a Kit Kat because I'm easily breakable. But do you know what I mean? Along those lines, something that comes
to I said quick. I'm a nougat because I'm hard on the outside but soft on the inside.
This is hard. There's a lot of chocolate bars.
This is really hard.
Do you have one in mind, Turner?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to hear the justification too.
Okay. Well, maybe I should come up with a better
justification. You can't just go Milky Way because I want it to be.
Why not? That sounds like something I would do.
Side note, Milky Way, Spono.
I've gone for one and I hope that we're on the same track.
Turner?
Okay.
Reveal.
I would go a snack.
Oh,
because why?
Yeah, we have justification.
What would be your
justification? So I said...
Are you calling yourself a snack?
Well, see, I said like a Marvelous Creations because it's like a gimmicky thing because Maddie loves a gimmick and it's like popping candy, all of that, like colourful, bright, pretty, like that sort of thing. She loves all that sort of stuff, which I feel like is sort of a similar reason.
Yeah, for the snack. Same snack thing. It's like got all the different flavours, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
Again, we find ourselves in this predicament where it's a great answer, but it's wrong.
But also, if I could pick the least, like if it was a chocolate that I would never choose, it's snack. I also nearly went Turkish Delight.
Which was going to be my second.
So
you got one more question.
Oh, sorry.
One more question. I mean, you can't win, but we'll do it just.
But it's fun.
You know when you've got a kid that give the kid the participation.
I feel like your questions have been a lot harder than mine, but
they absolutely have. But we need this. It's fine.
But Maddie just wants to keep making the other Maddie lose.
Yeah, this is a common thing.
Who would you say is your favorite player of all time?
Oh. Okay. Yep. Done. I don't know if you know this.
No, I do.
She's just scribbled out Maddie Proud. 3, 2, 1, Maddie Turner.
Matt Hurst.
Yes! I was nearly going to say Julie Coletto because you talked the other week about taking over, but then I remembered you said Nat Medhurst, fangirl. Someone that we actually would love to get on the podcast. So Nat, congratulations on the birth of your new child, Harriet. If you're listening to this podcast, we'd love to have you as a guest.
Anyway, look, Maddie Turner, 4 from 5, Maddie Proud, 3 from 5, it was gallant effort, but sadly.
You did have it harder.
Not enough.
I'm giving up. Next week it's you two on the podium.
If you were Survivor... They'd keep you around, you'd last to the end because you're not good at the game.
Easy target.
Alright.
She's not winning immunity.
Let's get into the cooldown, guys. Alright, it's time for the cooldown. And just like last week, we need to be extra speedy, mainly because Nick's got some tea he needs to fill us in on. And we really need to get to it. But first, my tips. Maddie, turn on, please.
Firebird Swifts.
Swifts.
Thunderbirds Fever.
Thunderbirds were an upset.
Lightning Giants.
Lightning.
Vixens. Magpies.
Fixins.
Hold on.
I always expect more. Anyway, let's get to it. All right. Maddie Turner, start us off with your game for the week.
My game was at New South Wales Smash Nationals, 17s, 19s, men's, reserves, everything. Fabulous.
Yeah, the girls and boys.
Great game.
Mine was your mum's message that she just sent you. Can you please read it aloud for the classroom?
She said, I found the podcast despite you. It's Canker Mad Chatter. She's meant to write called. You girls were so good, so professional sounding. You should be proud you have turned into a flashy podcast very cool.
And she even said like a flash mob Maddie reference as well. So it's Mother's Day next week. I'm not giving anything away, but there could be some mums on the podcast.
All right, Nick, speed it up for us.
Or not.
What is it? My game, winning a national title and seeing my puppy.
Oh, my game would be securing Harry Styles tickets times 2 and West Tigers with another back-to-back win.
Yeah, obstruction. I just found out that Nick doesn't actually listen to the podcast. I'm
kind of devastated. I'm actually going to cut this interview now. My obstruction was getting scared twice this morning, like so much so from like, so it's a stupid thing that we do at the Swiss, people hide and I'm just, there's something wrong with me where I honestly had tears in my eyes, like I think it took 10 years off my life. Sam did it to me, then I walked like 10 steps further and Helen did it to me again, and it was horrible. Also losing another game on this podcast, and also not securing freaking Harry Styles tickets.
Oh, shame. My obstruction was the hangover I had after Prezzo.
My obstruction was lunch being provided by work today, but all of it having nuts and I can't eat anything.
All right, my goal is, I can't really think of one, so I'm going to recycle, bringing back the pyramid, getting Brandon to use it.
Very good. My goal is to get Sam and Helen back with a scare, to win this weekend, and to get Harry Styles tickets.
My goal is just to keep it together. No more breakdowns.
And because Nick took mine, I said no more Easter eggs till Sunday because I keep having them for dinner. And also to fit into at least one of the dresses I bought from the Iconic.
Well done.
Iconic, if you want to sponsor us, please do.
Now, there was one more thing we had to address at the end of this podcast. Maddie Proud, what was it?
Perfect podcasts don't exist.